Hi, End of Effort family. Hey, this is Amy, and I wanted to bring just some encouragement to you of the importance of loving yourself. And this is quite a topic. You know, there's so much focus in the church about loving one another, and you know, it's so important, yes, for us to be humble, and all these things is good. We don't want pride because, you know, God detests pride, and we know where that leads, the good old ego, and all the flesh follows that. But I think there has been a misunderstanding in the church, and even a misunderstanding of God's heart towards us. You know, He gave the commandment, love one another as you know, you love yourself. And, you know, when in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, where the man said to the Lord, "Teacher, which great commandment in the law?" Now he's talking about Old Testament here. So you got to think everything's law, you know, all that. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Right there is permission. As yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. And we are so taught, oh my gosh, taught in religion, forsake yourself. And see, I think because of the English verbiage and language, a lot of different meanings get put to that. You know, when it's talking about forsake yourself and all that, it's talking about the carnal nature. But there's a whole difference between when Jesus is saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And then further in the book of John, in the Mirror Translation, John 13, 34, he says, "I give you a new commandment." And Francis du Toit breaks this down in the so either the Hebrew or Greek. He said he wasn't talking about a commandment. The translators put that word in. It was actually meaning, I give you a new goal. This is something you should aim for. And that is simply to keep on loving one another just as I have loved you. My love for you is the source of your love for one another. And then it continues, in this environment of your love for one another, everyone will come to know your discipleship unto me. So back to loving your neighbor as loving yourself. And we know the first goal is to love the Lord your God. But see, when that verse alone, that was Old Testament, so that's stating a law. And so you look at the new covenant now, because even like Paul said, all my works are as filthy rags, you know, the only thing I can boast in is in Christ. And so when it comes to us loving him, it's almost like the tables switched now, where God's like, okay, I know you tried, you thought you could love me, but it takes my love to love me. It takes my faith to believe in me. You know, it's like all cards in. He did it all. And so now it becomes a matter of you can only give what you receive. And so we receive his love. We receive his love in our mind. We receive his love in our strength. We receive, you know, just by simply bringing ourselves before him, like a cup to fill. And in so doing is the only way we're going to be able to love anybody else. And you know, isn't it just so wild? You know, so we have this, it still is a law. Well, I need to love one another. I need to love one another. But you're so struggling within yourself to even love yourself. And so if you don't love yourself, it's going to be really hard to love anybody else, because if your self-talk is focused on lack, what you don't have, the trauma and the tragedies that have happened to you in your life, and you're just so consumed, internally consumed with this. And if you're not loving yourself with your words and with your thoughts, that's going to project out onto others. And you know, you're not going to be able to love them, because whatever we, you know, think about, we usually project. And we think it's the other people outside of us when it's really us. So I just, you know, we know that's some scripture out there that gives us permission to love ourselves. And again, we're in the new covenant now. So God is not focused on our past sins and who we were and all this kind of stuff. You know, he did away with that. There's no more punishment. He paid the punishment. That's not what he's focused on now. He's focused on our development. He's focused on us seeing ourselves as he sees us and partnering with him in that. That's why he's like, take on the mind of Christ. Come up higher. See what I see. See yourself as I see you. Let me tell you a little bit about you so that you can really love yourself. Did you know that you're seated in heavenly places with me? And Jesus said, greater works will you do than I do. And I mean, just on and on through the New Testament, the Lord is showing and showcasing who we are, bringing us back to our original design, the blueprint, all of that. So I think it's so important that we all choose, especially in this end of effort where we are all at, coming to the end of ourselves. I think God is so saying, okay, I love you so much. Come to the end of yourself, of your own self-analysis, of your own self-effort to love me, of your own self-effort to try and improve on yourself. I mean, it's great to get wisdom and knowledge, for sure. I think that's great to, you know, add skills. But it's when we're beating ourselves up and our self-talk is toxic. That's the stuff he's saying. Hang it up on the cross. End your effort. Because if you're trying to fix yourself with your own strength, chances are you're going to be shaming yourself and telling yourself all the things you're doing right. And you can't ever be good enough. You're not enough. What's wrong with you? And you know, so now we got all the voices in our heads through our genealogy lines from great grandma to grandma, you know, great grandma to grandma to mom and dad, all the things that they passed down of shame and their insecurities now piling up on us. And so it's really the Lord is like, okay, I've done away with all that. Step into the new and choose to side with me. Choose to partner with me in what I'm saying. And it's just so vital. How else? This is like the plea of the Lord, you know, in this environment of loving one another and loving yourself, then all mankind will know, you know, you'll be known by your love for one another. You'll be known by your love for yourself. And, you know, let's just break down some facts here about the importance of loving yourself. You know, because we are all like, we are all billboards walking around and announcing our beliefs. You know, we think nobody can see this internal world that we live in. You know, all the, you know, some of them hear the things we say about ourselves on the outside. But just as, you know, when you eat a certain thing like garlic or whatever, it starts coming out of your pores and people can smell it. And so it's the same thing. Our thoughts, our toxic thoughts begin to protrude out of us. And it's not just that, but there's an actual, and they've proven it, what's 10 feet outside of you. Like I was sharing this the other day, I think in one of these podcasts, people can feel your bubble. They can feel what you're emanating, you know, what's resonating out of you. And so the beliefs. So it's so important. Here's the facts, right? If you like yourself, this is just common sense. If you like yourself, then more often than not, people are going to like you. Why is that? Why is that? It's because if you don't like yourself, then you're sending a verbal, nonverbal message to people saying that it's not safe for them to like you. Because you don't even like you. So why then should they like you? It's like there's like red flags popping off all over this place. Especially when you're announcing, oh, you know, when you're apologizing for yourself all the time. Or you're saying a certain body part you don't like about yourself. Or you're negative about yourself. Or you're sharing the, trauma that's happened to you. Or, you know, and you're trying to bond with people. We all want to connect. We're all designed to connect. But when you're trying to bond and connect with somebody through some trauma or tragedy or trying to get their sympathy or just sharing another toxic thing that's happened to you or hardship, it's pushing people away because it's sending off sirens in other people like, whoa, she's not safe or he's not safe. I don't know if I want to be in their world because they're in their world seems a bit toxic and unstable. You know, so naturally, people are not going to want to connect with that. It's like a sinking ship, you know, the sirens are going off and it's starting to sink or smell or you name it. People are not going to want to hook up or even get on board on that thing. So it's so important that we have self-care, and that requires us loving ourselves. You know, the greatest key to boosting your self-esteem and confidence is simply to like yourself. And nobody else can do that for you. You have to choose it. You have to choose to like yourself. And again, this is the new creation. We are all new creations. Christ started a new Genesis for us. We're new in Him. And so any old pattern of beliefs and habits, that's all it is. It's a habit. It is a habit that we've adopted, and we've got to just choose to not partner with it anymore and start creating a new neural pathway in our brains and in our hearts and really see it as the sin it is of, you know, being indifferent with what the Lord's saying about us and what God's saying about us. And, you know, the more we choose to change our thoughts, the more it will change our feelings. A lot of times, feelings are dictating to us, you know, what we do in life. And those feelings are stemming from what we dwell on and think about. Thoughts are so powerful. I mean, I know you guys know this, but it's like I was just sitting in the car with John today at Costco, and I'm like, I go, Meyer, you know, we call each other Meyer and Meyer. I go, do you realize the car we're sitting in right now started with a thought? I mean, just think about it. That's how powerful thoughts are. We are sitting in a thought right now. Wherever you're sitting on a thought that just got fully manifested. I mean, the reality hits when you think about it, when you think about that thought. So important. So loving yourself starts with liking yourself. And some really, really great tips is to give yourself permission to praise yourself. Okay, so picture it like this. You know, most of us grew up in a dysfunctional family, dysfunctional home. We didn't receive the attention or affection or you know, approval, you name it. Words of affirmation, touch, all that kind of stuff. And so we've got this void, but we've now been born again in Him, and we now have our helper, the Holy Spirit, quickening us, reminding us of the things the Lord said. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. For those whose love language is physical touch, boom, right there, you know, spending time soaking with Him is bringing that love, you know, through affection, and taking time to listen to Him, you know, is words of affirmation. So the Lord a lot of times will approach you in your love language. Do you know what your love language is? You know, is it physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of kindness, gifts, intimacy? So He's just so good. He just knows us so well. But again, if we're not loving ourselves or liking ourselves, a lot of times we're going to separate ourselves from Him, and separating ourselves from everyone. So that's why you can see I'm talking about this. It is so important, especially if the world's going to know us by our love. They're first going to look at you. Do you know yourself by His love? Because that's where it starts. First of all, are we receiving His love, or are we blocking it by our bad habits of wrong beliefs? Remember, what did the Lord say sin was? It's a sin that kept, you know, even in the Old Testament, it was unbelief that kept them out of the promised land. It's unbelief that kept people from believing in Him in the New Testament. And so sin, if you break it down in the Hebrew and the Greek, which is so powerful, I have to do a message on this sometime, but it's basically, it says stepping outside of the context of your blueprint design, or stepping out of the dance with the Father. I mean, it's amazing. You know, we got it all wrong about what sin is. You know, we label sin, and all we're doing is we're looking at the top of the weed. You know, we're looking at we think it's the root is our behaviors, but the behaviors are simply the byproducts of a thought that is out of alignment and it is indifferent with what God says about us. So, And you know, the Holy Spirit is the most incredible gardener. So we just got to come into this end of effort and surrender. Let's just surrender all these weeds of unbelief and wrong thinking about ourselves, because He most certainly didn't plant them. And a lot of times, you know, yes, hardships or parents or authority figures may have planted these seeds, but the reality is we've got to take responsibility, because we have chosen to process what somebody said in a certain way in our paradigm, and we chose to add the meaning to whatever it was they said. And they may have had good intentions, but because we are in this habitual cycle of negativity, unbelief, staying in this low frequency, then of course we're going to add meaning of rejection to that. So I really believe God is just, He's just pleading with us to enter in fully into His rest and the finished work and begin to side with Him. It's like, you know, Matthew 11:28-30 in the message, walk with me, talk with me, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you. So we're the ones that keep laying these ill-fitting beliefs that are making us ill, you know? So our goal, right? Like the Lord said, let this be your goal, you know? So our goal, just loving one another as we love ourselves. How can we love ourselves better? I want to read you guys some quotes here too. But what I was going to get at earlier about loving yourself, imagine yourself, you have your inner child. So we know this body of ours is it's a house. It's a host. We are hosting our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. We are hosting our spirit. We are hosting heaven, pretty much. We are hosting the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in there. So there's a whole dimension living internally inside of us. But our soul, you know, got born again. And so it's like a little child that we are now having to come alongside and raise up, so to speak. And the Holy Spirit is right on board with us, helping us transform. Just like, you know, a metamorphosis. We move from the caterpillar stage, then we go into the metamorphosis and we come out like a butterfly, being able to cross over into both dimensions and break the limited mindsets we had as a all-consuming consumer caterpillar, all about me, right? But so just picture yourself, your inner child, and the needs and desires for acceptance, and feeling low because of the negativity that came towards you in your childhood, your upbringing, all that kind of stuff. So I want to give you full permission to like yourself and to like your little child in within you, and begin to tend to that child within you like you always dreamed and wished you would have been tended to in the natural. So what I'm saying is when you make a mistake, that you will give that little inner child within you the grace and kindness you wish you always would have received. And you will not believe what that'll do for you. That you will forgive yourself, that you will begin to shower yourself with the fruits of the Spirit. You have full access now to the tree, full access to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He is ready to dish that fruit out as much as you can take. So when your inner child is starving and hungry for love, for affection, all that stuff, start serving it up. Gentleness. Are you gentle to your person? Are you gentle to your inner person? That's a wake-up call right there. Are you kind? You know, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy. Are you joyful over yourself? And this is huge. We got to start learning to praise ourselves. If nobody else is praising you, praise yourself. Tell yourself you're doing a good job. Give yourself grace. Again, everything you wished your parents would have given you, you have full permission to do that for yourself now. And, you know, we know by living in the Spirit, you live from the inside out. So, which is brilliant, because now you are fully supplied to be fully satisfied in Him. His grace is unlimited. His love is unlimited. His goodness, kindness, mercy, you know, all those things are on his patience. They're all unlimited for you to take off the shelf and feed that inner man, that inner child of yourself. So I just encourage you to begin to frame up that mindset, because you have full permission. Nobody's stopping you but you. So, and why? Why would you want to stop yourself from receiving the very thing you need? And so again, the cross and over of life in the spirit is living from within instead of the outside in. And so this is where we really do cross over, because instead of the past, where we're reaching outside of ourselves for the praise of man, the accolades, wanting them to notice us, and we're reaching for love, we're reaching for acceptance, we're reaching for approval. We don't need it anymore. Because if you've already established and you are feasting on the tree of life and not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil anymore, the do-it-yourself tree, you know, of the outside, like me, I need stuff outside of God. You're now hooked up to the life source. You're now hooked up to him. And so you can feast and be fully satisfied. And so you can assume now the posture of, well, I don't really need your praise anymore, because I'm already feasting and praising myself. I'm already loving on myself. I don't need you to show me kindness and gentleness, because I already am showing me kindness and gentleness, because that is the life in the kingdom within, where I am living from within out to the world. So that I have more than enough to give out, because I am the fountain, I'm the river that will never run dry within me, Christ himself, right? It's like he told the woman at the well, you know, and he told his disciples, I have food you know not of. And I told the woman at the well, you know, I have a drink that you will never thirst again. So again, it's just choosing, what source are you going to feast on? Are you going to continue reaching outside of yourself for the world to tell you that you're good enough, that you matter, that you're enough? I'm telling you that you will continue to stay in that roller coaster ride, because sure enough, you're going to suck them up dry, and then it's going to turn on you, or they just won't have enough to give to you, the outside world. Or you will just be living off of every hit, whether it's from a person or the next great latest product you've bought. It's just never going to satisfy, because you've been completely redesigned. You are a new creation. And it's like you cannot put a diesel vehicle that's gone from gasoline, been completely revamped, remade, to now have diesel fuel. You put gasoline in it, it's going to not work. And so you have a different fuel source now, a different life source. And that's why it's not working the other way. That's why it's dried up for you. So you have everything you will possibly need. And so what's so cool about this is that when you're not reaching for praise anymore from anybody else, and you said, oh, hey, I already praised myself, I don't need it anymore for you. You won't believe how attractive that's going to be to people. And they are going to now see the love you have for yourself, and they're going to want that for themselves. So you've now become a model, you know, instead of a taker saying, I need you outside of me to complete me. It's like, no, hey, I'm already complete in him. So it's just changing our mindsets. It's a practice. It's catching ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is so good about giving us those nudges. Those nudges when we're trying to reach outside of ourselves. But all right, so start focusing on what you like about yourself. This is huge. So again, you know, talking about what you can like about yourself, praise about yourself, say, hey, you're doing a good job. And it's just breaking the habit. But I mean, it's like we don't want to continue living in the counterfeit of that. You know, a lot of people that struggle with weight, no matter what kind of diet plan they go on, they continue to struggle to lose the weight. And why is that? Because God, we are sons and daughters of our Father, the ultimate creator. And so he has given us creative abilities, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for yet unseen. And so it is a creative, I mean, when you go study out quantum physics or just even the science of this, it'll blow your mind. So you are literally, you have that creative substance turning all the time. It is there. It's like a culture within you waiting for you to give it the release with your words and your thoughts so it can begin to create whatever you want. And so if you're telling yourself, I'm fat, I don't like myself, or I'm ugly, or just you name it, I don't like this about me, then your body, good or bad, it's going into creating that more and more for you. But if you begin to say, I like myself, I'm beautiful, I have beautiful eyes, or I have beautiful lips, or I have beautiful toes, or I have beautiful thin legs, you know, even if you in the past have thought you had, you know, thunder thighs or whatever, big legs or hips or whatever, begin to speak what you want. Create your reality. We create our reality by what we see and what we say. So we have to begin to forecast, right? You have to begin to forecast and see in the spirit what you look like, what you want to look like, and begin to start speaking that out. Otherwise, you're just going to keep getting the same thing. Oh, I'm ugly. I'm fat. Well, and you're right. Then you're right, because that's what you keep saying about yourself. And do you want to keep creating that? No. What do you want to create about yourself? Because whatever you believe about yourself, it's going to project like a siren outwards. And people will believe that about you too. And it's a crazy cycle, because then you're like, well, see, they believe that about me too. Well, yeah, because you announced it about yourself, verbally or non-verbally. So they had no choice to simply, okay, well, I guess that's what she wants us to believe about her, or he wants us to believe about him. It's so powerful. It's just so powerful. So, you know, this is so cool. Listen to this quote, this acronym. The acronym for FLY says, first love yourself, and then others will come next. You know, we are all leaders within ourselves. And so whatever you think that you like about yourself, and it won't matter anymore whatever they think, but more times than not, if you like yourself, people will end up liking you. And I'm not talking about doing it in an egotistic way where you're announcing, you know, we all, that's a turnoff, that's ego. We're talking about healthy loving yourself, because then you're going to have a better outlook on other people. You know, when we don't like ourselves and we're constantly judging ourselves, that's when we become critics and negative. And then we start judging and sizing up everybody else around us, and nobody wants to be around that. So if you're lonely and don't have a lot of friends, you got to check yourself. Are you doing that? You're either critical and judgmental, and it's projecting, you know, how you are towards yourself. So then you're projecting that on other people. Or you're so starved inside because you haven't given yourself praise, and you haven't tended to that inner child and loved on yourself and received the juice from heaven that Papa God is always pouring. You keep resisting his love, then you're going to keep reaching outside of other people, and they repel. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't handle this. He or she is just taking way too much out of me. They're sucking me dry. They need to take care of themselves. So, all right. I love this too. Listen to this quote. These are just a bunch of anonymous quotes. So it says, eat like you love yourself. Oh, is that powerful? Eat like you love yourself. Move like you love yourself. Your posture, body language is huge. And then speak like you love yourself. Act like you love yourself. You know, that sounds like discipleship to me, right? You know, back in the day, the disciples, you could always recognize their rabbi by the way they ate, by the way they talked about themselves, by the way they walked, and by the way they acted. So, you know, the world will know you by your love for one another. How you eat about yourself, how you move, how you speak about yourself, and how you act. So it's just, it's amazing. It's choose. We are powerful to choose. We are powerful to choose. So another quote says, your relationship with yourself sets the tone for every other relationship you have. Wow. Isn't that powerful? Your relationship with yourself sets the tone for every other relationship you have. Another one says, you're always with yourself, so you might as well enjoy the company. Don't you love that? So you might as well enjoy the company instead of beating yourself up. I mean, can you imagine having a poor, traumatic, abused person around you all the time? That brings you down to no end, just to this low living, low frequency. Oh, and you're doing that to yourself. Stop it. You know, two-word ministry counseling, right? Like Graham Cook said, stop it. Oh, so dear, love yourself first, because that's who you'll be spending the rest of your life with. People will come and go. Some people you have for a lifetime. But regardless, most of the time people are coming and going. Situations, places, people, places, and things are coming and going in your life all the time. So love yourself first. As God loves you, keep that connection free flowing with Him, because that's who you'll spend the rest of your life with. Yourself is not your enemy. Yourself is not your enemy. You know, yourself, oh, you guys, I'm telling you, I can just picture it. You're going to feel so much relief the more you just start saying, I like myself. Every morning, instead of looking at the past and the trauma and running through the same cycle, just begin to say, I like myself. Today's going to be a good day. And just create your reality. Create what you want to have. If you start speaking negative and you're like, nope, that doesn't taste too good. I don't think I want to create that anymore. You know, another quote says, work at being in love with the person in the mirror who has been through so much and is still standing. Right there is where you give yourself an applause, because we all know that life is hard and challenging at times. I mean, how many times have you guys been through things and you're like, oh my gosh, Lord, I don't know if I could ever make it. I had no clue that my body could take this much. I had no clue that I could go this far, you know, like handle this kind of intensity. But you're still standing. And you continue to forgive those that hurt you. And you continue to keep going and not lose hope. And we all know we've wanted to quit a million times, but we're still standing today. So give yourself some credit. Thank yourself. Thank the Lord. Bless yourself. So this is so good by, this quote's by Andre Guide says, loving yourself isn't vanity. It's sanity. God loved himself. God loved the whole world. You know, Jesus, oh man, you guys, they are love. They are love. And so are we. So loving ourselves, that's food to ourselves. If he is love, then we are love. And it's like Carolyn Leaf says, there is not one thing in your body that was designed for anything else than love. We are wired for love. There's nothing, no wirings in ourselves that are made for negativity, anything. So whenever we are out of love, we are malfunctioning and we're creating death within ourselves. We're creating malfunction because we're not designed to not be in love and loving ourselves and loving one another. So again, you're powerful to choose. Choose life. Choose love. You know, I'm telling you. Unhappy people criticize, and it's usually at themselves, and they're projecting it outward. So, but happy people, they praise. You always hear a happy person say, oh my gosh, I love this. Oh, I love what just happened for so-and-so. Or I love, see, listen to the verbiage. I love, I love, I love. Because they're aligned with love themselves. You know, love himself and love themselves. So when you're loving yourself and you're liking yourself, it is so much easier to love anybody else outside of you. We all know when we're feeling good, it is easy to be generous. So why is it, you know, when we come in these places that we aren't feeling good and we're depressed and we're oppressed and we go down the spiral, how did we get here, right? It all started when we went internally and we started thinking about what we didn't have. We started adding meanings to things that weren't true. We started rejecting ourselves and feeling everybody else was rejecting us. The world was against us. And we start going into this crazy cycle. Oh, aren't you tired of that? I know I sure am. Oh my gosh, you guys, I spent years of up and down. And sometimes that can be even do with our diet and our choices, right? Because food can really affect your emotions. So it's like wanting to get to the root of that and adjust where you can. And I'm telling you, when you do choose to eat healthier, love yourself by what you're eating, right? Then your emotions amazingly begin to balance out. Same with like fasting. You'll be amazed how calm you get. And, you know, I've done some research on health, and they said food is such a big contributor to people's moods that people have gotten divorces over it because it creates such extremes in people. So, yeah, anyway, and I know it's just the self-medicating or our addictions. But you know what? The addictions are simply because we're not choosing to let the Lord love us. So we're reaching outside of ourselves, right? Because somewhere we bought into a lie that God is mad at us, that He is against us. We're experiencing pain because we're being punished for something we did and we're just not enough. Oh, such crazy thinking. I mean, imagine. Oh, no. So anyway, the words you use shape your reality. And I'm just thinking, you know, I'm just wanting to share, get a couple more nuggets for you. I know this one's going a little bit long, but it's so important. So, you know, I was talking about on a one prior to this about, I think it was the first one I did, about coming to the end of the tracks. And are you seeing on the vision board within you what God is saying about you? Because what you picture in your mind about yourself and what you say to yourself inwardly or outwardly becomes your reality. What you believe, you shall receive, right? What the word says. Or like Steve Backlund always says, and you're right. Whatever you're saying or choosing, and you're right. Because you now just created that as your reality. I mean, my gosh, the power God's entrusted to us. As a man thinketh, so is he. So what do you really want to create? Your brain is constantly looking for images to manifest. This is why we must choose the mind of Christ and see ourselves as he does and declare it. Oh my gosh, you guys. Oh no. And this was a cool analogy that came to me earlier today. The words you use about yourself paint the picture that people see. So again, it's like back to the billboard. We are our own marketing tool. We are our own billboard, what we advertise about ourselves through what we think, say, what we eat, what we do. So what do you want them to see and believe about yourself? God gave us a paintbrush. So again, it's the creative substance of your faith. It's our spoken words. And these words are so amazing because they have color attached to them. So you think about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. They all have just phenomenal colors to them in the Spirit. You look at the rainbow. Look at the covenants of God. I mean, you hear so many people that have gone to heaven and said there is just mind-blowing colors that we don't even have here on earth. So, but even just picturing it in the Spirit, you just know that you know in your gut, okay, these are vibrant colors. And they're colors that heal. And they have frequencies attached to them. But then you look at the colors of, I'm nobody, I'm not enough, oh, poor me, nobody has my story, nobody's been through my pain. What are the colors you instantly see, right? What do you see? Gray, black, charcoal, a dim, kind of pale gray, black, you know? Absolutely no hues of color in them. Maybe it's just a dark grayish blue. Because you're in the blues. But so are you painting? What are you displaying? We are all his masterpieces, and he's allowing us to paint with him. So it's just a great analogy. What colors are coming out of your mouth? Colorful speech, but in a good way, right? Oh, goodness. So, you know, just going back to praising yourself every day, you can say things again like, I matter, I'm smart, I'm a good person, people like me because I'm warm. It goes back into the instead. So if you believe, well, I'm not good at speaking, or I'm shy, I'm an introvert, you know, so-and-so's better at speaking, better at connecting. Well, you're just now creating that. Imagine if you say, you know what? I really am good at speaking, and I am good at listening, and I'm good at eye contact, and I'm good. And just start saying what you really know you truly are inside and want to be, and it'll begin to manifest. So it's so important, guys. Let's just choose. Let's choose to end our effort of our negative self-talk and begin to fully embrace our new creation in Him and begin to serve up the fruits of the Spirit to ourselves first, right? Because you can only give out what you've received yourself. So receive His abundant grace right now. Receive His mercies that are new every morning. Receive His mind-blowing love because He's offering it. And just choose to let your guard down. You're not going to get disappointed in Him anymore. You're not. He's just got a full abundant flow. So, Father, we just stand together right now as your family, as your sons and daughters of royalty. We thank you for restoring us back into perfect alignment, into our blueprint and original design with you. We just repent for being indifferent in our attitudes and in our mindsets and not wearing our crowns of love. Oh, Father, we just repent for pauper mentalities, and we choose to be the sons and daughters, the princes and princesses of who we originally are. That is our original blueprint. That's our original DNA. We've come from you straight out of our heart, out of your heart. Our parents are not our original existence. They were stewards for a time, and we forgive them, and we bless them, and we release them. I know they did the best they could. But Lord, we come into the full newness, born again in you. And from here on out, we choose, Papa. We choose to receive your words of kindness over our lives and to come and agree with that. We choose to come and agree to see what you see about us, to see and to declare that. And we just forgive ourselves. We just choose to forgive ourselves for abusing our bodies in any way through words, through food, through action, through any self-hatred. We just forgive ourselves right now. And we release love. And we choose to tell ourselves, you're doing a good job. Look, you're still standing. You're still going forward. You're still believing. So we just bless our temples. We bless our souls with wholeness right now and shalom. We bless our bodies. We declare they are beautiful. They're beautiful. They're amazing. They're your custom design. Lord, we repent for rejecting the custom design you made us. And we embrace ourselves. And we like ourselves. And we're going to choose to see ourselves as you see us. So we can love ourselves and love all those around us. Because we're now one with you, one with love, restored back to who we are, which is love, in love, in you. Thank you, Papa. Thank you so much for your grace and your oil of ease to walk out in ending our own efforts and receiving your abundant life. Your name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening, y'all. I love you all so much. And stay tuned for more coming. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.